This is the Serrano Brothers Podcast.
Hey, everybody, we're back to the Serrano Brothers Podcast. Today we have on our podcast Christina Boschman. So good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for inviting me on.
Hey, Christina, could you tell us first where you're serving, what church you're serving at?
I serve at New Creation Lutheran Church. We're located in the very, very southernmost corner of San Jose, California.
Very cool. We'll get to church stuff in a bit, but we kind of want to know more about you to start off with. So, tell us about yourself. Where are you from? Maybe what your family looks like, and maybe a childhood memory.
So I'm originally like the two of you. I was born and raised in Southern California. And so I spent the first 25 years of my life in the Los Angeles area. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, which means I am a Valley girl. And that follows me around everywhere I go. One of the things people always say to me is, oh, I hear a little bit of an accent. Are you from the South? And I'm like, South? Have you been to the South? I'm not sounding like I'm from the South. And I go, well, yeah, I'm from the South. I mean, the South of here, yeah, of the Bay Area. I grew up in LA, but I think I still have a Valley Girl twang, so I sound like I have an accent. But
when you were in high school, did you have the Valley Girl?
Oh my gosh. I was in all of this. I mean, that was my era, to be really honest. That was totally my era. That just made me feel really old right now, but that was my era. And so the music videos and the Valley Girl movie and the Fast Times at Ridgemont High was, yes, you know, filmed at the high school down the street. It wasn't my high school, but it was the next closest high school. The mall that everything was filled in was the mall that we all went to on the weekend. So, I mean, I'm like the ultimate Valley Girl. I'm like, oh, that's my life right there.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So that was where I grew up.
But if for people who you know, you're talking about all this filming and kind of stuff, and if anybody's like outside of LA and they think, oh, that would be so cool, it's cool the first time you see it, but then like, right, like it happens again, and then like you're rerouted, and then you're like, why are they filming in this part of town, right? Like for people who live in LA, it's an inconvenience
to be.
Exactly, absolutely,
right. Right.
So what's your
What's your family look like?
So my family is the typical broken family of the, you know, 70s and the 80s. So parents were divorced. And, you know, that kind of that typical story. I feel like everyone has that really typical story of your, right, of your 70s and 80s divorced family kind of thing. When I moved here, I actually moved up here because my dad was living up in the San Jose area. So I wanted to, you know, reconnect with my dad and kind of regrow a relationship there. I'm a single mom of a 25, almost 26 year old child. She's not a child anymore, by the way, because that's old. I feel so
old. Is she out of college?
Oh, yeah. She's out of college, not out of the house. She still lives at home because who can afford to live out of the home in the Bay Area? No one. So
totally.
But you are not yet a grandmother.
Oh God, no, not yet.
Oh, no. She's like, don't put that on me.
Actually, sadly, I want to be a grandma. I would love to be a grandma, and I actually don't think it's in my cards. So my kid is not a, I don't know, she hates kids, although she works with kids. So I should say maybe one day she'll decide she likes them so much she'd want one. But at this point in her life, the idea of having a child, she can't even fathom it. So I'm like, well, I thought that way when I was young, so it could change. Who knows?
Totally.
Is there any other exciting news about family stuff that you want to bring up?
Because I said I'm currently a single mom of an adult child. Well, yeah, actually, I am engaged to get married.
Yay! Do you all have a date in mind? Like, do you have that? Like, are you?
I feel like if I tell everyone, people will just show up.
Oh yeah, well, okay.
The whole thing, but it's on September the 20th of this year. So.
So exciting.
I know, it is really exciting. So we'll see how that goes. And it's so weird to be marrying another pastor, right? It feels strange.
Good. Do you want to out him? Do you want to out who it is?
Should I out him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I should totally out him. I'm engaged and marrying Daniel Tisdell, who was originally out of the Rocky Mountain Synod. I drug him across all those states.
Pulled him over.
I did. To the Sarah Pacific Synod.
Mm-hmm. And awesome. He is a fine man. I have been a big fan of his for a long time.
Well, I think... Did you guys go to PLTS at all together at the same time, or are you already out?
So Jeremy and I both have worked in the spiritual care, you know, team for PLTS. So I don't remember if I went to school with him or he was a student while I was part of the pastoral care team.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
See, funny story is we went to PLTS at the same time, but we were in two distinctly different programs. So we graduated on the same day. Never having seen each other or met each other, but we graduated on the same day from PLTS.
Oh, that's funny.
I know.
What year did you graduate?
2015. Nice. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so I probably would have been there on the spiritual care team then. Yeah, that's cool.
So, besides being a pastor, what do you do outside of the church? What are some of the kind of the hobbies and passions that you have?
I have a few. I like to go hiking. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I love to garden, but I haven't done that. I haven't gardened in a while. Just life has been very busy the last year. So gardening seems to be the afterthought in my life. And one of my favorite things to do is to bring down the patriarchy. So I volunteer and do a lot of work with the Women's March organization. And very cool. Also, I do some work in the Synod a little bit. We're trying to build a little bit more of a following in that. But we're so in my free time, I'm just trying to smash glass ceilings and lift up women in our world around us.
Tell awesome. Me a little bit more about the, like, is the organization called the Women's March?
Mm-hmm. It's Women's March organization, and they're national. It's a national organization. So in the very beginning, there were chapters all over. And so I was a participant. I would meet at the San Jose chapter. And since COVID, they kind of changed everything with Women's March, and it's more about it's more of a national. So we gather on Zoom and we hear speakers and we talk about, you know, the hot topics. We talk about how to get people out voting, how to meet the needs of the communities. And so that's been a really big focus for me too. And they don't just address patriarchal, they address all aspects right now of our current climate. So, so just a lot of that I work, it's a passion. So
awesome.
I go out in March.
So. Do you have, we're in the middle of Lent right now. We're, you know, a few weeks out from Easter.
What?
Yeah, that's
Wait,
coming.
Hold on. What?
So thanks for doing the podcast like before Easter.
Easter's coming.
So for Lent, do you have any like spiritual disciplines that you've taken on? Or do you have any spiritual disciplines in general that you are fond of that you know?
I'd like to say, firstly, I'm highly undisciplined. I think that's the most important thing about me. I want to say that our church, we chose a very unique and very different direction to go with Lent this year. And so I always have a theme, and we generally use Worship Design Studio, which is a great plug right now for that for that organization run by Marsha McPhee. And we were looking through all the different ones, and the newest theme for Lent this year was called What Are You Up To? And the theme is not about giving up, it's about getting up. And so instead of thinking about all the things we have to give up, it's about how can you make a positive change in the world around you right now. And so,
Nice.
yeah. And one of the things I love more than anything is that you walk in my building, it's the least Lenty of Lents I've ever seen. We have little lantern, like, you know, those hanging lanterns that you can buy. Well, these are in the shape of hot air balloons. And they're hanging all over when you walk into the sanctuary. They're just floating in the sanctuary. And I felt like Lent has been so Lenty the last few years. Like, it's just, Lent has just been so deeply Lenty. And we've been asked to go and sit in our homes, and we've asked to be away from people, that I wanted to do something that actually created community and forced us a little bit more out instead of inward. And so, one of the things I'm doing is I reach out to people all the time and ask them to go do something with me, whether it's go for a walk or go do some gardening at the church or go have a cup of coffee as a way for us to continue to build community, because I feel like that's been a big loss, at least for our church. I kind of get the sense for most churches is that sense of community. So we're really trying to rebuild a sense of community during Lent. And so my practice is to try and always sort of touch base with people to give them a reminder that there's a place and a space, and we should be gathering more.
That's awesome. I like that.
Did you grow up Lutheran?
No, I did not, sir.
Tell us how did you get here?
I asked that question recently at a PLTS new members on the board. I serve on the advisory board at PLTS, and that was the question I asked the new members in a space, was how did you get here? And it could have been any answer, like I flew in a plane and I took BART, I walked in the room, right? But it was interesting to hear the different ways people answered the question. I was baptized a lovely Presbyterian. My grandparents on my father's side were the epitome of the church couple, right? In the church, they were the epitome. So I did, you know, they drug us along as kids. We'd spend the night and they'd take us to church. And so I had this sort of kind of casual upbringing, but my parents didn't do church. So I was a seeker my entire, like, for like my entire adulthood. I grew up in the valley, which is predominantly Jewish. So I went to temple. I had friends that practiced Hindu, so I did some Hindu. I mean, I just did everything. And I remember in college, I'd be like, "Oh, the high holidays are coming," and I'd call up my friends. I'm like, "Are you going to church or not church? Are you going to temple? And are you prepared? You know, it's you know we got this and that." And they're like, "You're not even Jewish. What are you doing?" I'm like, "But this is important, and you need to get to the tar." They're like, "You're not a part of this. Why are you worried about this?" Like, "Oh, we need to go to temple. It's what we're gonna do." So I've just sort of dabbled, and I ended up moving to the Bay Area, and there was just a point in my life I felt a little bit more lost. Made a couple of friends, really wanted to get to church, and so a friend of mine just started going to a random Presbyterian church, and that wasn't really what I wanted. And after I had my daughter, I ended up in this great church called Family Community Church, and they are Assemblies of God. Great church. I got super involved, like taught Sunday school, made the coffee. I did everything at that church, like everything. But then, you know, you sit and you listen to some of the theology and you're kind of like, no, I don't think so. And I ended up working in technology, big.com bust, needed it and was looking for a job. And I happened upon an ad that said, looking for a church secretary. And I was actually an executive admin. So a church secretary was kind of a basic job, but I was like, oh, working in a church, how cool. I would like to work in a church. So in 2003, I took a church job at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in San Jose. And then I became a Lutheran, which is crazy.
You got hired in. That's awesome.
I took all the skills I learned at this evangelical church and I put it on to practice at this Lutheran church. And then someone said, you should be a pastor. And I said, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Why would I be a pastor?
What do you think, Josh and I both have an evangelical background as well, but
know.
what do you think the gift of that is in the Lutheran Church?
Passionate spirituality. I think that the, we've talked about that, and I hope I don't offend people, but Lutherans are generally a little bit more, I don't want to say cold because that's not the term I want, but they're not passionate usually. Like
Little
they
more
were
subdued,
born,
maybe.
well, maybe, but they're also born into, they're born into being Lutheran. And so they don't, it's not something they think about. Like, I am born, I'm Lutheran, and I go to church. Like, this is what you do. And I didn't have that. And so, and I think what I find at a lot of the evangelical churches is they're just much more passionate about the idea of being in church. And a lot of people that just didn't grow up in churches are in those churches. And we just have this, I found that we just always got more excited about it because it was all new. Like, it was all new, and all the time it was new. And I just think that that is very different than growing up being like, I'm a Lutheran. So when people ask me and I say, what are you? And I say, well, I'm a Christian and I currently practice my spirituality as a Lutheran. And it's my kind of my pat answer to that. And they're like, so you're not a Lutheran? And I'm like, well, I don't know how you are a Lutheran, but I do practice my spirituality and my theology as a Lutheran, but I am a Christian. So.
I tried for years to get my current church to say that we are a Christian church in the Lutheran tradition, and they never went along with that. They couldn't do that,
I know because they're Lutheran. It's in their core. It's in the core of their being. And it's great. And there's nothing wrong with that. Truly, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you didn't come from that, you just have a different, it's just a little bit of a different take on it.
So what made you finally decide to like relent and become a pastor? 'Cause so you said that they told you to become a pastor and you were like, that's crazy. So what was that kind of, what's that call for you like?
It's a call. I know people are like, how are you a pastor? And I'm like, you should have this conversation with God because just I don't even know how I got here sometimes. I love people. I mean, I love people. And I love the ability to be with people and to share so much more of life with people. And there are many ways you can do that. And certainly pastor isn't the only way to do that. But I love sharing the world with people through a theological understanding of our Lutheran, our Lutheran confessions, our Lutheran faith. I love being in the places and spaces that people are looking for that spiritual care. I love looking into their eyes on Sunday mornings as you're handing out the communion. I love that. And there isn't anywhere else I can get that. And so I have a degree in psychology, and that's a great place to work with people. I love working with kids, and it's a great place, but there's something so different. And so somehow or another, I don't know why I finally said yes. I'm like, I was joking. I'm like, I was like Jonah, and I said no, and I ran to the, right and the left, and I hopped on a boat, and God just kind of circled around continuously, like, no, this is really where you're supposed to be. And I said, and I finally said yes.
Good story. I like that. That's awesome. Do you, how long have you been, so how long have you been a pastor now?
Oh my gosh. I was ordained in February of 2015, so 9 years. I just celebrated 9 years.
Is there anything else? I mean, you told us about a bunch about what you love. Is there anything else about the ministry that you love?
Everything, even the things you hate, you love. I mean, there are days when they're just you hate it, but then you realize. But everything I do, it just brings so much more meaning to me and to the people around me that I can't ever not like my job, even when I'm in the midst of like a temper tantrum about something that's going on, where I'm like screaming and yelling, and then the next moment I'm like, but they're human and I love them. I love everything about them. Because people are always like, do you have members that you really don't like? And I'm like, no. How can I have members I don't like? I said they're my members and I love them and we're so human together. I said, don't you think there are some of my members who probably don't always really like me either? So it goes back and forth, but we love each other because that's what we're called to do. And I said, and I love everyone in spite of all of our faults.
So I was recently asked the question, and I thought it was a really good question. We live in a time that has become highly politicized and highly divisive in our politics and the way that we even engage with each other. How do you pastor a congregation where there is amongst a highly divided society?
It's hard, but I always remind people that on Sunday mornings we gather together as one, and that's who we are together, and that we're community, and we can't hold on to the different beliefs of political aspects. And they know me, so they know my take. No one has to ask me; it's always out there, so they know where I'm at. I don't like to talk about politics though in the church. I will talk about the gospel, and I will preach the gospel on every Sunday that I have the opportunity. And for some people will say, oh, well, the gospel is political. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is. It's very political. I said, and I am sharing you what Jesus said, and I'm sharing with you what our scriptures say. And it is going to sometimes feel painful if you're not in that space. But I'm not going to say, don't name candidates. I don't name, you know, parties. I never, ever do that, because I think everyone has the freedom of what it is that's important to them. And I don't want to change that. But I will always bring up anything that they need to hear and they need to see, and they need to find it that it's scripturally based. And I'm not just, you know, out on a whim doing whatever. And I love the fact that we definitely have a split group. We're much more blue than we are purple in my community. We're way more blue. But I have such respect for all of my members, and that they have the right to come to church and still feel welcomed and loved. So I don't name things other than I do name the gospels. I'm like, this is what Jesus said we do. So if you're wondering why I'm telling you this, it's what Jesus says we do. So
I think that's a good way of putting it. Do you at your congregation, do you have a way of like, do you connect with other congregations in your area? And if you do, kind of what does that look like for you all?
My favorite thing that we do is an annual event. We have the Silicon Valley Pride Festival, and we have an interfaith pride booth, which is a multi-faith. So it's not just ecumenical, it's interfaith. And we get together for about 4 months planning for it and putting things together. And the idea behind it is that we just want to represent that there are spaces for people to go in the LGBTQIA+ community, that they will be loved, that they are completely 100% accepted. There's nothing like, we are those communities for them. And I love getting together with all the different denominations and the different faith communities, and laughing and talking and learning about how they do one thing and how we might do something different. And that all the way around this is we're all coming together for one really big, important reason. And that's probably my big thing that I like to do and it's just such a great time every year. So
that's cool. Is there anything that your community, your church does that other churches in the Sierra Pacific Synod could partner with? Like, do you have anything like that where somebody in your area could be like, oh, they hearing this podcast can say, we love what they're doing there. How could we partner with you?
We do not. Do you want that? I'm like, we actually are always partnering with everybody else. So we jump on everybody else's tail. And so we follow them along. So we have a ministry called Encompass Ministry. That's a part of our Lutheran conference, our conference in the El Camino Real conference. And so we partner with them. So there's actually, I'll just plug it, Pastor Jim Clark Moore, who is the pastor of this organization that works with the homelessness population, houselessness. And so we partner with that organization as a way to support that as a community. So we don't have our own, but we know who's around and how to support that.
Well, that's great. That's great. What else about your congregation that you love? What do you all, tell us about your congregation.
We're the fun congregation. People always say, I have a lot of pastor friends who all talk about something that we've done and they're like, oh my God, you guys are so much fun. And I said, yeah, we're a lot of fun. I go, but their pastor's a lot of fun. So I'm not boring. Was it one of the bishops came out for a visit and afterwards said, I don't think I've ever seen anyone get heckled at church before. And I said, oh yeah. They go, but you heckle them back. And I go, well, yeah, I mean, you know, they're gonna heckle me, I'm gonna heckle them back. So I feel like the relationships in our church are very fun. We're just really a fun community. So I've coined a phrase in our church last year as we've been trying to recreate and regrow the church and our relationships. We really lost so much during the COVID time, like just really did. And so I coined the thing. I said, we really need to have some fun. So I would like to have, I'd like to have some pizzazzy wow. And everyone on the council goes, what? I go, I really want us to have some like pizzazzy wow. Like we need to do some fun stuff. So I want some money. I want you to give me some money so we can have pizzazzy wow on Easter Sunday, which led to us having mimosas and this big egg hunt and then some other craft things for the kids to do and just this kind of fun time afterwards. And everyone goes, pizzazzy wow. And so we pizzazzy wow now like a couple times during the year. And someone will say, you know, we haven't had a pizzazzy wow in a while, Pastor. When are we going to do that again? And I'm like, oh, we should do pizzazzy wow again soon. Instead, then we plan something else.
I love that. I really, really love that because like I think often we forget, we kind of get stuck in drudgery sometimes in churches and to have fun and to make fun a part of your mission. I that's so important.
We know how to have fun. Other churches are like, oh, wait, you did what? You guys do Reformation with beer in your church? I'm like, well, it's Reformation. You can't. Yeah, of course you have beer on Reformation. And then we always have Pajama Sunday, the Sunday after Christmas, whatever that Sunday is. It's always Pajama Sunday. We all come in our pajamas. And then New Year's, we always toast to the new year. And we do, you know, so we always have some kind of sparkling something in the building for that. And just during the year, we just always find, we're just always finding ways to have fun. And we found people love it. We've had a chili cook-off. Something different, something that amuses you and makes people smile and laugh and it engages them again. So.
That's nice. Wow. How much like staff do you have at your congregation? How many folks, would you say worship on a Sunday?
Well, that,
what are the demographics?
Not talk like? About last Sunday. Apparently the time change, everyone forgot that it was church. So I looked around.
Us too.
It didn't even occur to me. I'm like, why is there no one here?
I warned my people. I said, we're going to know who forgot about the time change because they're going to walk in about 45 minutes. Right. You know? Yeah, and it happened.
My people won't even do that. They just logged into Zoom. They're like, oh, well, maybe I'll catch the last 5 minutes on the Zoom channel. So we average, we were averaging really low. We're back up into like 30s and 40s. I'm really excited about that, which sounds so sad. During COVID, we were on Zoom and we did live services throughout the entire time that we weren't in church. And we would average like 50, 60 people because you couldn't do anything else. It was like the coolest thing. I was like, we have more people in church now than we've had in so long. So it's a small church. I have a part-time music director We have a worship band. So I mean, if you want to, I've got a guitarist and a bassist and a drummer.
Nice.
And so we have, so we don't do
Cool.
hymns. We're kind of hip. And then I have a part-time administrator who does mostly work for Sunday morning. So she puts together the welcome folders and our, she'll help me reroute all the liturgy. We don't use set liturgy. We kind of create
Any of the
most of our,
settings, yeah.
we don't do any of that. So we do, we kind of make our own.
That's that evangelical background you got, and I got to tell you, after Easter, after Christmas, we do the same thing. We use a lot of worship music here, like a lot of contemporary worship music. Do you have a favorite worship song?
No, there's so many really good ones. Right now, actually, I'll say I love the song God of Brilliant Lights. And if you don't know it, go listen
I
to it. It's
don't.
so good. It's really good. It started out as our, I think we brought it in for Epiphany. Just because, it's light. So we brought it in for Epiphany, and then we use it a lot during our creation season. So it's a good one. There's so many good ones.
I'm gonna have to watch your worship service just to steal the music that you guys are doing, because I feel like we use the same 30 worship songs, and so I need some new ones.
We're all kind of stuck there. I think we have this catalog. We bring in like one or a couple every year. We'll bring in some new ones and stuff. Oh, you know what? Promises. That's another one I love. Promises, really good one. We actually during COVID, we had created some videos and we're sharing them with people who were looking for some other music. So they could use some of our more contemporary songs in their services. And they really had fun with that. So our band was all around the place, got around,
That's cool.
but it was
That's a way to
easy.
connect with others.
I know, right? It
That's
was
really
really fun.
great.
So yeah. So and I think, oh, and we have a full-time preschool program at our church. So I do have a full-time preschool director and also a staff of, I think we have three teachers right now. A staff of three teachers.
Nice.
It takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I love having a preschool on campus. The first Lutheran church we don't have one now, is how I met my wife, actually, because she was a preschool teacher and I was the youth director. It's so much life having the kids there, right?
It is. I love it. I don't work in the office just because I become too distracted and go play with the kids all day. So I work from home most of the time because if I'm in my office, I'm working with the teachers, I'm working in the classroom, I'm playing out on the playground, and I find myself 100% fully distracted. And I went, okay, I'm just going to do once a week so that they know me. And I always come in, and I think that's the best part. Teachers are, and I guess maybe the pastor, but they're like, you're like the rock star when you walk in there. And they come like flooding at me, like, oh, Miss Christina. And they just come and they hug me and they're just so excited to see me. And I'm thinking, oh, how do you not want to be around this all the time? Like, it's so amazing.
Do you do chapel with them, or is it?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I also work as their substitute. I'm a substitute in the classroom. So when
Oh,
if there's a
nice.
teacher that isn't going to make it, I have appropriate classes to go ahead and work in the classroom. So I'll come in and I'll substitute too. So they'll get me as their teacher. And it's
So
a
that's really
small
cool.
school, so.
That's awesome. Okay, we got a theological question for you.
I knew you would have something
We
theological.
got so you, we got to have some. You're a pastor, all
I
right?
know, but
All right.
wait,
So,
I'm a pastor? Why do you guys keep telling me all this stuff? I'm like, you're surprising me with some stuff today.
all right. So, how do you explain the gospel to somebody?
Oh,
What's the gospel?
the gospel, of course, and I say it every time on Sunday as I'm reading it. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, is that this is good news. What you're about to hear is good news. And the good news is that we have grace and hope and love, and we have a God that just ultimately loves us for every part of us. And the gospel comes and tells us that every single Sunday about how much we're loved. And that even in the midst of some of our less than favorite gospel verses from different times. And we'll go, that's a hard one, but let me talk about it with you. And we can talk about how important this is. And then just how much God loves us in the midst of this, that there's just, it's the place that you come to find out really your awareness in the world, that there is so much more to us than we think. And then we come to the gospel, just sort of enlightens it. It's like it illuminates that. That's the word. That was my work, my weekend word. It illuminates just how much we're loved and valued in the story and life of creation.
Great answer. I love it.
Amen.
I love it. Amen to that.
Thank God you didn't ask me to, like, you know, get out my Book of Concord or something and just really dig into that. Be like, oh, it has been too long. I do not know.
Me too.
I'm like, I do not know.
All right. So we wrap up our time with our pastors and lay people in the synod with 10 or so quick questions. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I'm totally ready. I almost practiced. I was going to see if I could do them in, like, really fast, but I don't think so.
All right. Which food can you eat every day?
Tacos.
Solidarity. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite movie genre?
I don't watch movies. Oh, old movies. All right, old movies. I love old movies. The old ones from, like, the 40s, 50s.
Salty, sweet, or savory?
Salty.
In addition to the Bible, which book would you bring with you on a deserted island?
Lamb.
What fills your cup?
Laughter.
What depletes your cup?
Politics.
What is your favorite holy place?
The ocean.
What was one piece of good advice that you've been given?
It's not about you.
What does rest look like for you?
Oh, I don't know. That's my star word this year, and I'm still confused by it. I don't know what rest is.
On that last day, when you enter into heaven, what do you hope that God will say?
Welcome.
Indeed. Everybody, this has been the Reverend Christina Bauchman? Bachman. God, Lord, I messed that up. How do you say your last name?
Bauchman.
Bauchman. I've known you for like 10 years. Bauchman. All right. Thanks for listening, friends.